Last week, one of the MBCers, one of the master burnout coaches in training, asked me how my body was reacting to my marathon training. And she asked that question because I have shared with all of you before the impact that my morning boot camps were having on my body, and how that level of cardio training was quite literally keeping my body in this fight and flight and survival mode. So she knew that I had got the, I'm going to say, approval, application, the go ahead. She knew that I'd had my application for the London Marathon accepted. I don't know if I've shared that with you guys yet, have I? Maybe I shared that last week. But she knew that I'd had my London Marathon place accepted. And she also, no, she's been a long-term client of mine. And she also knew that I have spoken many times before about the impacts of cardio on my body. So I thought I'd talk to you about that this morning. So I think it's quite an interesting point. And if there is any confusion or doubt or worry about me, some of you care. I've had some many messages from lots of, so many of you now, it's amazing. But genuinely, if there is a worry, or if even if there is a worry that actually I'm kind of doing one thing and saying another, that wasn't why she asked me the question. She herself has actually started to do some running over the last week. But I think it's an interesting one, because actually our bodies can change, can't they? And the whole premise really is about listening to and understanding our own bodies. And so that's, I suppose, where I want to go with you today. How am I training for the London Marathon without pushing myself into a fight or flight state again? That's what we'll talk about for the next, well, for this episode. As always, Frazzled is uncut, unscripted, unedited. You might get ums and ahs and pauses and stutters and stammers and all sorts of different stuff that's going on. But we talk openly. This is my space to be completely, unapologetically thinking out loud whatever comes to mind in whatever way we're going to do it. And we're not changing that. We're going to stick with it. So let's talk about that today, shall we? So should we recap? I, prior to burnout number one, I was training for a charity cycle across Kenya. I was doing 7 spin classes a week. I was cycling hundreds of miles every weekend. I loved being on my bike. I loved the training routines. I loved absolutely everything about it. Everything about it. And of course, then when burnout struck, my body was like a lead weight. Everything was too difficult. Couldn't do it. Couldn't get out of bed. Couldn't get on my bike. Couldn't do anything. And then in between burnout one and burnout two, I had this never-ending list, what felt like a never-ending list of like self-care stuff, right? Walk the dog, walk a certain amount of steps, do the yoga, do the meditation, eat this, drink that, be in bed by this time, do gratitude, do, constantly going. And yet my partner and I, we would go out on our bikes at weekend. We'd take his kids over, again, just like cycling, maybe on over to see his mum. And a nice, gentle cycle was really lovely. And I do remember after burnout number two, thinking, I've just got to get back on my bike, right? If I'm going to recover from burnout number two, I just need to get back on my bike. And I can remember trying a spin class. It was what felt like the biggest failure of my entire life. It was like, no, we're not doing this. But I desperately wanted to get back on my bike. And my partner and I, we did some British Heart Foundation cycles. We did like a 10-mile one. We did a 50-mile. We did a 10-mile one and a 25-mile one. There was a 50-mile that was going on the same day. And I was like, I'm not ready for that. But again, even like my body just wouldn't do it. And I think the second one that we did, which is a 25-miler, my gears went on the way around. We had this huge hill to go up afterwards. I'm just like, I can't do it with my gears. And all these people coming up behind me. Some of them had already done the 50-mile cycle, so like 25 miles ahead of me already. And they're like, you can do it. Like the motivation that was coming, like, you can do it. Just keep going. You can do it. And I'm like, I've got no gears. And just genuinely really struggled. We did another one and I can't remember, but I think my knee went. I'd come off my foot had kind of slipped off my pedal. My knee had gone really weird, but I kind of carried on with that. And so it almost felt like every time I tried to do these charity cycles, like something felt like it was sabotaging me. And I'm like, I can't do this. But I think my inner self was still convinced that cardio, and doesn't the whole world tell us this, right? It's the cardio that's good for us. It's good for our heart health. It's good for our body. It's good for stress reduction. It's good for all of this stuff. Just, you know, do the cardio, you lose the weight, you're better heart, all this stuff. And I have tried continuously since my second burnout in 2015 to get back on my bike. I have tried to do some running. I have done HIIT workouts. I have done morning boot camps. I have tried like some Zumba classes again. I have tried, what's it bloody called? Begins with a T. I want to say Topanga. That's out of Dirty Dancing, isn't it? If any of you know what I mean, I'm sure it's a six-letter word and it is like a high-intensity workout. You do like repeat the same. I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, I've tried that. I have tried running slowly. I have tried cycling again, HIIT workouts, everything. And I've not been able to last it for long. Now, of course, we get told stick with it, right? The whole world is telling us just keep going, keep pushing. Again, like get up, smash your goals, do this thing, like hustle hard. We're still, that narrative is still bloody everywhere, isn't it? And so I have stuck with these workouts and these groups and these high intensity training things. I have stuck with them for as long as I possibly can. And then I get this light bulb in my head again. It's like, this is not good for you. And I have to almost kind of sit and I will spiral. Right? Am I just saying it's not good for me because I'm not enjoying it? Am I just saying it's not good for me because I'm finding it hard? Am I just saying it's not good for me because I can't bother to get out of bed in the morning? Am I just saying it's not good for me because of? And all of the signs and signals are there. My body is giving me the messages. My brain is giving me the messages. And yet, it's still like all of this external noise and external influence of just keep going, just keep pushing, just keep moving, just keep. That somehow has become for a large part of my life louder than listening to my own intuition and paying attention to my body again. Since my surgery last year, so my total hysterectomy and oophorectomy, my body, in fact, my entire life, but my body and my brain and my thoughts and my mental health and everything is the calmest and the most content that I can ever, ever, ever remember being in my life. And I'm still sitting with a lot of that. I think I've mentioned this to you before. I'm still kind of like, am I still in recovery mode? Am I this calm and content because I'm just not trying hard enough? Am I this calm and content because I'm not setting big enough goals? So again, there's almost this kind of dual narrative, right? Because again, my entire life, moved up here at schools, you know, periods from 10, you know, you've got to keep pushing through the pain. Presenteeism seemed much more important than actually listening to my own body and taking the rest that I needed, right? School would say to my parents, Kelly needs to be in. She can't keep taking these days off for her periods. When you go into work, it's all about presenteeism. We get rewarded, don't we, for 100% attendance. I remember working for organisations where I would get one extra day's holiday a year if I took no sickness absence. What was I doing? Working through the sickness, working through the pain to get one extra day's holiday. Not giving myself the couple of days that I needed to actually allow my body to rest. So I have been pushing through pain and struggle and presenteeism and the external noise and the hustle culture and the work hard, play hard, and being a mum of twins at 20 and getting my C-suite director role at 30. I have and I have quite literally paid for all of that, right? I have paid for all of that with two periods of burnout and all this pain and illness and everything that I have lived with, and missed, like even just like 12-year misdiagnosis since that first burnout, right? 12 years it took to get diagnosed with adenomyosis, is crippling pain that I had constantly and repeatedly, that got worse after my endometrial ablation in 2013 and still kept going. Left corporate, started my own business, started my own award-winning growing business, recruiting people into the team. I've had four house moves since then, ended my marriage, started a new relationship, became a stepmom to two bonus sons, plus all the stuff, you know, with my own sons going through it. Then we've had COVID and like more illness and family stuff going on, and just constant. I know I'm not alone in this. I know many of you have kind of felt the same thing, but there has been, I suppose what I can only decide as like a total body reset since my surgery. And the, dare I say, the knowing that I need to now pay attention to my body, the knowing that I can do the stuff that I want to do and it doesn't have to feel like I'm fighting constantly anymore. Again, I think for like 35 years of my life, it's just felt like I've been having to fighting through the pain, fighting to get heard, fighting to get noticed, fighting to be the best, fighting to get through interview processes, fighting to get through promotions, fighting in my relationship, fighting to be the best mum that I could, fighting to like be the best C-suite HR director that I could as a working mum of like 10-year-old twins. Like everything has felt like a fight. And now it doesn't. And I kept having since my surgery, it's like, just go for a run. I was like, I'm not a runner. Like, it's not for me. But I've still had this feeling in my head of, I can't go for a run because it's not safe for me to run. I'll push my body back into a stress state. Can't do it. And yet what I've been noticing from my PT sessions over the last few months, actually, is I have been able to go for much longer. I've actually been getting, you know, I do, as part of my PT sessions, my PT sessions are an hour and we focus all of that on the weight training, the weight lifting. So my PT said to me, like, if you can arrive like 10 or 15 minutes early, do a warm up on the bike or the treadmill beforehand, right? Get some of that cardio. It doesn't have to be particularly fast, but enough to just increase your heart rate before we then like do the main workout. And I found myself over the last few months, as long as the traffic is not too bad, but giving myself like half an hour on the bike and increasing the speed a little bit, increasing the pace a little bit, increasing the intensity a little bit, and doing like half hour on the bike before I then do a 4-minute workout. And last week I swapped the bike for the treadmill so that I could start my training, and I wanted to increase the speed. I've been on my walking pad at home and I'm wanting to increase the speed. I'm paying attention when I'm going out, and all I've been doing is like a walk run, but I'm just listening to my body, and I'm doing like a 5K. I found like a 5K lap at the moment, and if I'm not out doing a 5K lap, I'm on my walking pad doing a 5K lap. But I'm just listening to my body, and I'm walking when I want to walk, and I'm walking a little bit quicker when I want to walk a little bit quicker, and I'm not going to say running, but I'm going into a jog when I feel like going into a jog. And then when I need to walk again, I'm walking again. And I don't feel like I'm pushing my body too hard. And my body doesn't feel like it's in a stress state. Everything is feeling nice and comfortable. Now, I am not expecting a 26.2-mile marathon to be comfortable, and I'm not expecting it to be easy. I am fully aware that the training is going to have to ramp up, that the speed is going to have to ramp up, that the intensity is going to have to ramp up. But the minute I'm just listening to my body. Now, if I'd have tried this even a year ago, not that I'd have been able to even stand to do it a year ago, but if I had tried this a year ago, I know I would have gone out, tried to go full pelt, done what I could, and then just kept on going, doing that every single day. And I probably would have gone faster, and I probably would have gone harder, and I would have pushed my body back into this stress state. Now, these boot camps and things that I was doing, I had to stop them because I was noticing that they were pushing my body back into this fight or flight mode constantly. So I had to stop doing them. The cycle rides that we've been doing, as much as I loved them, I knew that I was pushing my body into a fight or flight mode. I was loving things like my cold showers every morning, right? Loving it. But I was pushing my body into a fight or flight mode. I still love an ice bath. But ice baths no longer love me. They're pushing my body into a fight or flight state. Now, that's happening less again since my surgery. But do I really need it? This weekend, we've had people round. We had people round for like I suppose an additional celebration for my partner's birthday. We had a house full on Saturday, and we were really busy the weekend before. And Sunday morning, I did my journaling, did some cards, I did some meditation. I had a really lovely slow morning. I thought, I'm gonna go sit in the hot tub. 4 hours I spent in that hot tub, and then I sat in the garden for an hour, and then I went and had a bath, and I was in the bath for an hour, and then I got out, and I watched a bit of a film, and we just chilled. We had a nice dinner. I went upstairs early, watched a bit more rubbish TV, just fell asleep, and I woke up this morning feeling amazing. That level of slowness, right? I needed warm water. I'm an absolute water baby, right? Put me anywhere in any water, and I'm happy. But again, there's a different feeling between nice hot tub, nice warm bath, and freezing cold ice bath. And again, the ice baths might increase in intensity depending on what's happening with my body as I increase my running. But I thought it was a really interesting question, as I said, from my MBC last week, because that knowing what cardio can do to us, knowing that the cardio can push us into a fight or flight state if we're in that constant survival mode. I think she'd been kind of stepping back a little bit from that as well. And now she's actually, I want to give it a go. Like, you're encouraging me to put my running shoes on. Just like, go, but pay attention to your body. And ultimately, that's all any of us need to be doing, right? Again, I've this work, what, 13 years. Come back to the toxic, the burnout equation, don't we? Right? Toxicity minus sense of self equals burnout. Now, if I think of what cardio has been doing to my body, the cardio has been the toxicity, but I've been losing myself for all of the years that I've been trying to do it before. I haven't been doing it for me. I've been doing it because it's still been fueling some of that external narrative of, this is why you must do cardio. This is what you've got to do. You've got to push. You've got to keep going. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. And now I'm coming at it of a place of, I'm doing this because this matters. I'm doing it because I'm running the marathon in memory of my close friend Joe raising money for pancreatic cancer. I know I am not going to get across that finish line if I push myself too hard now. I know even in 3 months' time or 6 months' time, if I'm pushing myself too hard, I'm not going to get across that finish line. If I can get across that finish line in under 8 hours and still be in one piece, whether I have to crawl across it or not, but if I can get across that finish line in under 8 hours, still feeling okay, still feeling like I've accomplished, still raising as much money as possible, that's all I'm aiming for. I don't need to be an elite marathon runner. My body would not have allowed me to say that for a large number of years. Because if I was going to do it, I would have had to have proven that somehow I was on a par with elite marathon runners, and I'd have had to have the best training and the best this and the best that and get the best time and push for this and push for that and push for the other. But my body now feels calm. And I can now make better decisions. And I can get back to do, I've never really been a runner. 400 meter at school I used to love. I've done some couch to 5K over the years. I've done a couple of 5Ks miserably. But I always used to, I genuinely used to love like a bit of a run walk. I used to love a bit of a kind of couch to 5K. I remember, you know, even when I was married again, like I'm probably going back, this was before my first bounce. I'm probably going back to like 2011, 2012. I used to love a bit of a run walk, and I can even now see the route that I used to take from the house that we lived in, and I loved it. And it's that feeling that I want back again now. Like I found myself one here and one near my stepson's school, although we've got 6 weeks holiday now, but I've found myself a couple of 5K routes that I can just do. So when we're in, I know I have continued to be in survival mode with what has been going on with my body for as long as it has. And I know that all of the work and all of the research and all the study and the training and everything that I know about burnout has, I'm going to say, kept me alive for as long as it has, whilst I have been struggling still with everything that I've been going on physically. Right, all of the stuff that I know is what has kept me going. It's kept me motivated. It's kept me in business. It's kept me moving. It's kept me going. It's kept me passionate. It's given me the drive. It's given me all of the ambition. It's given me everything. And all of that learning, I'm now continuing to put into practice and seeing even more of the pieces fall into place. Now I'm not fighting my body on an absolute daily basis. So the stuff that I know has been helping me this far, and now it's like I'm in a different body in it, and I'm taking all of that learning to a whole other level. It's not all going to be easy. I know it's not all going to be easy, but I also know I'm in a safer body to now allow me to do stuff. And I suppose, I don't know if that's motivation for any of you this week. I don't know if that's helpful or hindering more of this work. We've got to come back to the burnout equation, right? Toxicity minus sense of self. We've got to keep coming back to sense of self. But as part of that sense of self, we know that illness and masking and burnout and family dynamics and toxic workplaces, we know all of those things can start to steal some of that sense of self, right? To stop us living in a way that isn't necessarily aligned with who we are. And so we have to do the very best that we can do on the day that we can do it, right? And that doesn't mean that we have to keep pushing through. And I don't want any of you to keep pushing through. You know, again, I do what I do in the way that I do it because I never want any of you to ever have to experience what I have done. I never want any of you to have to survive in the same way that I have done. Prevention, burnout prevention for me, like, is still like the North Star, the guiding light, if you like, that still gets me out of bed in the morning, because I genuinely don't want anybody to ever, ever, ever have to experience what I went through. And again, if I kind of look at it now, I can probably say now that like 13 years after my first burnout, I now feel recovered. And I now feel healed. And yes, some of that is as a result of the surgery that I've undertaken. And that surgery has now and continues to allow my body to now be in this like rest and digest state, this calmer, easier place of living. Like, this is, you know, this is the place that I want to be in, right? And if this then allows me to complete a marathon or do a 300-mile cycle across Kenya, right? Why wouldn't I want to do that? But I'm no longer doing that from a place of survival or unsafety. I think that's my message for you today, right? I I don't want any of you to ever, ever, ever have to live or experience what I did. Those 2 periods of burnout were hard enough, having to continue to live with the aftermath of that for 12 years has been so hard that I can't even find the words for it. But the fact that I can now even consider getting a pair of running shoes on, and I can again calmly see myself like crossing the finish line for the London Marathon, this is recovery. But for you, it's about paying attention to your body. Is your body giving you signs that you need to stop? Is your body giving you signs that actually maybe it is safe to go a little bit further? For me, as I've said, a lot of those signs, I've had to stop a lot over the last 12 years. I've really had to pull back. I got to a point where it was literally just yoga and weights. That's all I could do. And in my head, I was desperate for something else, but I had to begin to pay attention to my body. And my body, even on some days, was like just yoga. We're not even picking up a weight. And of course, for the 15 months that I had this debilitating pain before my surgery, and I've shared this with many of you before as well, I know I couldn't even get on my yoga mat, not even to do any yoga, but I was in so much pain, I couldn't even get on the floor to get on my yoga mat. Last year was really hard for me because the stuff that I do to keep myself mentally in check, again, you know, living with bipolar, the stuff that I do to keep myself in mental check, I couldn't do any of that last year. I've like had to pretty much rebuild everything, and I continue to do so. I'm checking in every single day, making the changes that I need to make, making the adjustments that I need to make. Like, this is ongoing. None of this is a one and done. So I want you to know, I suppose, that like, I still want burnout prevention, right? Still want burnout prevention more than anything. I want you to know maybe that what true recovery feels like is this feeling of calmness and contentness. And I want you to continue to tune in and really, really pay attention to your body, not all the external noise and what everything externally or all on your socials or any of that sort of stuff. We need to stop a lot of that noise. I think next week I'm going to talk to you a bit more about kind of permission to change some things around, to stop some of the noise, to stop some of that busyness. And maybe we'll go there next week. But for this week, just keep, right, listen to your body. What is your body telling you? We disconnect from our bodies so much when we're going into burnout. I know I did. And again, I know I've mentioned this to all of you before, but it was like my body and my brain were two completely separate things. It's like I could just constantly keep overriding all of the pain and all of the signs of my body and just kept on going. It was like my body was over there happening to somebody else and my brain was here in charge of everything. I don't want that for you. I want all of us to be whole. I want all of us to have that true mind, body, embodied, living in the now kind of clarity and calm and content way of living. Like, get back into our bodies, pay attention to what our body needs. And maybe for you that is speeding things up a little, and maybe for you that's slowing things down. But what's your body telling you? And if you don't know what your body's telling you, perhaps that's a sign of the disconnect. The fact that I'm losing my voice now anyway, going a little bit gruffer, I'm not sure what's happening here, but that's a sign that we'll leave this episode for today. We'll leave it there. I will be back with you again next week. I'm going to say thank you very much again for listening. I will be back with you again next Tuesday at 7 a.m. Take care for now.